Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor, and boy, this is going to be fun because, a chance to catch up with DeMarco Farr, of course, former Washington player from the Huskies, former player in the National Football League. Now I'd be with him twice a year on the sidelines of Ram-Seahawk games and looking forward to that. And of course, as you know, I do the Rams sidelines and the visiting team sidelines, opposing team sidelines, and it's fun. But the timing of this couldn't be better because, we're all figuring out the hierarchy of the National Football League. Doing the game last week with New Orleans going against the Rams. And of course, I think most people agree they're the best two teams in football right now. What did you see in that Ram game? First off, what is the great part about the Saints?
Oh, the great part about the Saints. Wow. Where do I begin? I guess you have to start with Drew Brees. That would be number one, how great of a quarterback he is. If you've never seen him play, and if that was your first time, I think you would be impressed. Outside of that, Sean Payton and the game plan that he threw against the Rams defense, you had to expect something tricky. It was more basic and fundamental than we thought or than the Rams would think, but just how they got to it and how they unleashed Alvin Kamara on the Rams defense, just all perimeter runs. And when he gets into the red zone, man, I haven't seen a guy more deadly since Marshall Faulk. I mean, really, there's not much you can do defensively to stop him once they get into that red zone territory. So, and their defense, their run defense, you have to give them a whole lot of credit. Not a whole lot of household names, but they do a great job stopping the run. They did a great job against the Rams, kind of bottling up Todd Gurley, making him sing for his supper. So, yeah, I mean, if this were college football and the Rams took an L to a one-loss football team, I don't think they would fall out of the top five. So it was a great game. It was a battle. I bet the NFL loved it. But I bet we'll see these same two teams down the road again.
Well, that's the thing I'm kind of wondering about, because when I started to project what the game was going to be like, I was thinking, okay, if the game were in L.A., the Rams would win. If the game's going to be in New Orleans, and I've seen too many games with Drew Brees in a wild Superdome, that's going to go toward his side. So clearly now coming out with the top seed is going to be so important, and these look like to be the top two seeds. Would you agree if the game were in L.A. that the Rams would win it?
You know, I guess I would have to say yes, because crowd noise was a factor. It did get loud. Like, being on the sidelines, when I was with you in Seattle, there were times when it got so loud where I couldn't hear the guys in the booth, and I had my headphones jacked all the way up to 10. In New Orleans, it was the same. It got so loud that I couldn't hear the guys talking to me, and that has to affect play calling on offense. You can't go to a hard count, so that means the defensive line is going to have a jump. So, yeah, I would say the home field really, really matters when you're facing a team as good or, in some respects, better than you. So, yeah, if it was in L.A., the game probably comes out differently in the fourth quarter. There, I think it went according to plan for all Saints fans.
And, of course, I mean, the great part about, I think, the development of Jared Goff is that he was able to come back from a 35-14 deficit. That's something you really couldn't say in his first year and maybe to a certain degree last year.
Yeah, he would have been dead a couple of years ago, just the way they were running the offense back then. But he has changed. He's grown. He's progressed. Sean McVay has instilled, or at least brought out, the confidence, the quarterback confidence in him. And you see it. He is the leader. They don't break down the huddle, post-game, pre-game, what have you, until Jared is in the middle. I mean, that's the stuff you look for. He is a leader. Remember, last season when they were in Dallas, they were down 17 points and came back and won. In Jerry's world, that kind of turned the season, or at least got them going in the right direction. So when they got down early against New Orleans, they weren't going to blink. They were going to find ways to get back in. They were going to fix the problems and get back in the game. Sure enough, they tied it up at 35. But at the end of the game, New Orleans made more plays to win. Jared Goff and the offense, they had 6:23 on the clock in the fourth. They were down by three and went three and out. And then when Drew Brees got the ball, he scored a touchdown to end the football game. So they made more plays at the end to win that football game. Maybe in L.A. that would have been different.
I'll tell you the one thing is, and I think it's a diagnosis of where this league is, because, I mean, you look at it and you see the points allowed by the Rams right now, which is at 22-2, which isn't bad. And, of course, you look at the Saints. I mean, they're giving up 27.3, but you have all these 30-plus scoring teams, and all their defenses are giving up a lot of points. It's just kind of a dichotomy of where this league is, because it's all about offense.
You know, I agree with you, and this is funny. I've been answering a lot of questions And they kind of stopped after the loss. But before it was like, hey, how does this team compare to your 1999 Rams? And, you know, you try to answer the question as best you could. But remember, my team, our team had four or five Hall of Famers on offense. It was a little bit different. We have a long way to go before you get there. But right now it kind of resembles the 2000 Rams. Great on offense, but we weren't very good on defense. We could score like the Dickens, but we couldn't keep anybody out of the end zone. So I think that was just us. We were beat up, but this seems league-wide. Teams are scoring more. Maybe it's rule changes. I don't know what's going on, but it might have something to do with the place kicking. I can't figure that out either, Professor. Why are all these place kickers struggling this year? But, yeah, defensively, right now, the Rams are having trouble keeping guys out of the end zone, keeping teams out of the end zone. At some point, you're going to have to sew that up. We're still trying to figure out the whys and the hows. Is it the Johnnies and the Joes or the X's and the O's? We don't know the answer to that. I would say this. When you have Rodgers come to town and then you got to go to Drew Brees' house, you're going to give up some points. It's going to be tough to shut people down. But if you have any designs on being a first round or a one seed, get the bye, or a Super Bowl participant coming out of the NFC, you've got to do a better job on defense, no doubt.
What seems to be now, obviously, I think the one thing that I think finally maybe Marcus Peters is fessing up to is that ankle calf injury has really affected him, because it really affected him. You saw in the Seattle game where he got beaten for a couple of touchdowns. The coverage against Michael Thomas, of course, was there. But I mean, how much of his problems are injury related?
You know, that's a great question, and, you know, he's a tough read, because when you ask him about the injury, he'll say he's healthy. He'll say he's 100%. He says if he's out there, he's good enough to play, and I agree with him. There are a lot of guys out there that are playing less than 100%. You've got to find a way to suck it up, but you've got to make plays. The one thing that you have to do at corner, number one, is you can't give up the big play, and I think that's been kind of, I don't want to say a hallmark of his career, but it's something that you read about coming from Kansas City when he first landed in Los Angeles, that he gives up a lot of touchdowns or his technique will get a little sloppy and it'll be a flag fest. And I think some of that showed up after the injury. So, you know, he's trying to do his best. He's trying to be a tough guy for his football team, and I respect that. But at some point when you face guys like Drew Brees and they see any sort of weakness or any sort of problem you're having, they're going to keep coming after you, and they're not going to stop. So you saw that in New Orleans. You saw that versus Green Bay. I would have a bet versus Seattle. You're going to see a little bit more with Baldwin or whoever you line up on. They're going to come after you until you stop it.
No question. And that's the thing that's kind of, that was fun about that game, because, again, you have such creative minds with Sean Payton going against Sean McVay. And some of the creativity is just marvelous. It really throws defenses off.
No doubt. And Sean Payton has done a heck of a sell job, a heck of a coaching job, convincing Drew Brees to line up at receiver so he can put in another quarterback to throw the football. I mean, that's a great coaching job. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
Although,
the greatest living quarterback in terms of yards is lined up at receiver for this play. That's,
yeah,
amazing.
I might want to kind of put that one on the shelf. That's not the best one. That's being too creative. But that's the fun part about it. Now, the interesting part, and of course, I mean, you got into this, I know, in the Seattle game, was just how physical the game is. You know, Seattle's now changed their complete style, trying to get back to what they were before when they had the power running game. And DJ Fluker and J.R. Sweezy have come on and really helped this run game on. And, of course, going against the great line that the Rams have, I mean, that got to be really physical.
No doubt. You know, and I like to watch Seattle. That's my style of football. That's my brand of ball. I guess that's what I grew up on, when you run the ball to set up the pass. And, you know, I looked at the stats and what they've done since the Rams played them in L.A., and it's just been 200-yard rushing efforts after 200-yard rushing efforts and more rushes than passes. So that's a style of defense, or a style of team I'd love to play defense for. So I think it's the best way to win in the National Football League. It's punishing. It's very, very physical. When you lose to the Seahawks, you sometimes lose 2 weeks in a run, 2 weeks in a row, because of how physical it is. But the thing that makes it easier is, you know what the battle is going to be. It's going to be man in the mirror. It's going to be a phone booth battle with a bunch of guys that don't like you. So when you're talking about Sue, you're talking about Donald, you're talking about Fowler, who we're bringing into the fold right now, you know what it's going to be. You're going to have to really earn the right this week to rush the passer because they won't give you the opportunity. They're going to keep slamming the ball at you with two and three running backs. Plus, Russell Wilson will do some scrambling. So it's a running football game. I can't wait for this matchup. I love these type of matchups.
No, this is going to be good. In fact, what I'm looking forward to is just seeing the rematch of DJ Fluker going against Ndamukong Suh. Because, I mean, Suh won his battles, but also DJ Fluker won his battles, particularly in that one play near the goal line where he pancaked Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, yeah. You know, the fun thing is, right, I love it. Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh play the same game. They're intimidators. They won't get in your face, but they're so physically strong that they'll back people down with just their sheer size and strength. But every now and then, guys like Fluker will stand up to it. They'll give it right back, and those are the guys you have to respect. But in the trenches, if you're the first guy out of your stance and you pop straight up, you will get pancaked or flatbacked. I don't care who you are. So even the best guys, the highest paid guys in the National Football League, like Suh and Donald, have to play it fundamentally sound or they get washed out of there and the ball just will pop.
How has Suh fitted into this defense?
You know, he's fit in really well. He's become a leader. That defense-only meeting, that players-only meeting, I think it was a month ago, I think that was led by him. You know, he's very vocal. If he doesn't like something, he'll tell you. If he doesn't like the way a guy's playing, he'll tell you. You have to respect it, and he gets the fight started. He's the guy that is the first off the bench to start the play for the defense, and he gets nasty with it. And then you kind of forget that Aaron Donald's out there with him, and then all of a sudden Aaron reminds you that he's one of the best tackles in the league, if not the best. So I think he's fit in just great with this defense and this football team.
No doubt. How would you evaluate the way the front seven has played so far this year?
Against the run, you know, at times, great. At times, it leaves you scratching your head. And it's usually one or two guys that make mistakes, and it's a mistake of effort, trying to do too much instead of doing your job, and then the ball will pop. Like Kamara will just find the hole that you're supposed to be in. The linebackers, I think Corey Littleton is on his way to being the next Donnie Edwards. And I think that's a heck of a compliment. I mean, he is just that good, that versatile. So at times, great. At times, you wait for them to get punched in the mouth and then they respond. But if they can start the game sometimes the way they finish it, I think they'd be a dominant defense.
Yeah, of course, and that's the one thing that they do have in their favor, too, because that's, I think, the mystery of the Rams, because, I mean, you look and you see the wide receiver talent, you know, Jared Goff, but really the heart of that team, at least offensively, is Todd Gurley, because I still think that everything revolves around him, because first you have to respond to him, and then Sean McVay takes all the advantage in trying to play off of him and then get the passes off him.
Absolutely. Todd is first and foremost. He is the tip of the spear, so to speak. And I think you'd be crazy as a defensive coordinator or as a defense as a whole not to key on him first. That's the fastest way to lose if you let him out the door. And it doesn't take much for him to have a couple of breakaway runs. But if you can keep him viable, if you don't turn the ball over, if the defense is doing their job as well and you can keep feeding him and keep him viable into the fourth quarter, I think eventually he's going to wear anybody's defense down and completely out. He's got everything you need. He can be one of those shifty type backs that looks for the home run, or he can be a disciplined running back that has a lead that can just grind you out. And if you're doing a good job against the run, you can hit him out of the backfield, and he can run patterns. So he's become one of the complete players in the National Football League. But, yeah, your first goal should be to stop him.
And, of course, I tell you what, and this is another one of the sideline things, and I know you've experienced it too. I mean, the upgrade of Brandon Cooks over Sammy Watkins, I think, is just immense. And this is not to knock Sammy, because I remember in that first Ram game how frustrated he is just running decoy routes. This is last year. And, then you can watch and see that this is a really good acquisition in Brandon Cooks.
Absolutely. Now that they've got Cooper Kupp back, they've got their trio. So you've got Robert Woods back, you've got Kupp, and you've got Brandon Cook. So they work so well together. They work as one unit, and I'm glad we're going back to the days of the Three Amigos, or what was that little group in Washington, the Posse? What they call themselves?
I'm trying to remember here, but I'll get it here in a second. But that is good. I mean, they need to come up with a nickname.
Yeah, it's a
it wasn't the Fun Bunch, I think. Wasn't it the Fun Bunch?
The Fun Bunch.
Yeah, Fun Bunch, yeah.
The Fun Bunch. it's a group that's doing it to you. So they don't care who gets the football. Every route looks the same, decoy or not. So that's how they wreak havoc on defenses. Now, here's the difference between Sammy and Brandon Cooks, and I think it's obvious. Sammy's just a bigger guy. So when coverage is tight, if they happen to guess right or like Green Bay, if they're just playing like gangbusters and there's no daylight between defender and receiver, you know, it's going to be tough for smaller guys to get up over the top and make plays. I think that's the difference. But if I had to pick again, I would always pick Brandon Cooks. There's so much more you can do with him than you could with Sammy Watkins.
One thing I'm kind of wondering about, and maybe you've seen it in the games after the Seattle game, how has he responded to the hit that Bradley McDougal had? Because it was very similar to the Malcolm Jenkins one that he took last year in the Super Bowl when he was with New England. I mean, you know, hits like that tend to make you not flinch, but be a little bit, not gun-shy, but a little bit apprehensive when you're trying to, you know, go across the middle. Because he took a tough hit by McDougal and another tough one last year by Jenkins.
Well, this is the cool thing, because they actually break stuff like that down and figure out why it happened. So that kind of, it takes the sting away and takes the fear away. Like, okay, this happened because we didn't do this. This is why you got you almost got decapitated. So it'll go back to the route you ran. It'll go out to when the ball came out. It'll go out to where Jared Goff put the football. So they talk about all that stuff, which takes away the sting of it. So, yeah, it's almost like it never even happened for him. But as far as his toughness, it's going to take more than that to get a guy like him to change. It's just not going to happen. He's one of the tougher guys that I've seen play receiver. He just doesn't care about getting hit. And remember, Robert Woods takes bigger hits than that on a daily basis or a play-by-play basis. So these guys, just like the O-line, they pride themselves on getting up after each and every snap.
Because you've been in such great rivalries through the years, where would you judge the Ram-Seahawk rivalry at this stage in comparison to the rest of the league?
I think it's still there. Fever pitch. I think the only difference is this is a new fan base because now the Rams are in L.A. But that heat, that feeling that the Seahawks used to lord over the Rams and the NFC West and be the big brother to the North, that's all still there. And believe me, I think the Seahawks fans want that back. They're reluctant to give the Rams credit, especially. You know that fan that's there, that super fan that's in Seattle, that's there, that's right on the corner, right where the visitors come out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's given the Rams all sorts of heat, and you look back and you said, well, the last time we were here, the Rams put 42 on you. He doesn't care. They're not letting that in. They still think the Seahawks are the class of the West. So I think that rivalry is one of the greatest in the NFL. At some point, maybe, if the Seahawks can, I guess, rally, become one of the best, like become where the Saints are right now, be a one-loss team. If the Seahawks were a one-loss team coming into this week, I think this would be the marquee matchup of the week. That rivalry is strong. It's real.
Okay, here's the tough one I'm going to ask you. Which is the better offense, the greatest show on turf or this offense?
Well, I got to go with the greatest show on turf.
Okay.
And that's just for now, because they completed the mission. They got to the Super Bowl. They won it in 99. They went back in 2001 and lost to Brady. That was the start of his run. So, and it put Kurt Warner in the Hall of Fame. It put Orlando Pace in the Hall of Fame. Marshall Faulk in the Hall of Fame. Soon, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce will follow suit. So, I'd have to go there first. But this team can build. This team could absolutely build into that same sort of group. Now, you're going through the doldrums right now. This might be the low point of the season. So let's see how they respond with Seattle coming to town. If they get right, and they get right versus Seattle, then the comparisons are still there. But as of right now, you'd have to go with the greatest show.
Yeah, and of course. And then finally, would you anticipate this to be a high-scoring game?
Wow. At least for the Rams, yes. If it's a low-scoring game, then you would have to say it's a Seahawk game because I think that's what they want. Russell Wilson throwing less than 20 times, running the football close to 40 times. I think that's what they want. So I don't know how many points you can actually score with that sort of game plan. But on the Rams side, the Sean McVay side, he's going for 50 every game. That's his mentality. That's what he wants. So if it is a high-scoring game, you'd have to take the Rams to win that football game.
DeMarco, looking forward to being with you again on Sunday on the sidelines. It's going to be fun.
Can't wait to see you, man. I'll be out there.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.